So you're gonna kind of go from worst to first, because that's exactly what happened.
Hey,
with the Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars prove one thing. These managers, these owners, they need to stop looking for the rock star coach. They went after Jacksonville, went after Urban Meyer. They went out to Urban Meyer, brought Urban Meyer in, and that dude.
I told you guys that was a mistake from the start.
Well, you didn't hear me disagree with you. I just said, let's give him a chance. I mean, that's
give
it.
Give him a chance for what? Urban Meyer is Nick Saban. Actually, Nick Saban's better than Urban Meyer.
Well, Nick Saban realized quickly that, I'm in the wrong situation. At least he resigned and stepped down and went back to college and not – But my point is, coaching is everything. When you see teams like Jacksonville do what they do, you see teams like what the Jets did, you see what teams, Detroit Lions, you see what they did with their coaching staff. As a Bucks fan, what we saw this season should be unacceptable. It should be with, and this is from the top down. This is bigger than Ty Bowles. This is bigger than Byron Leftwich as the offensive coordinator. Now, I'm talking about an organizational situation here. Front office, scouting department, general manager. What happened this season? Coming from a team that just 2 years ago won the Super Bowl, last year was a play away from playing in the NFC Championship game. To go from those extremes to this point here, where we're sitting up here talking about a team that offensively averaged 17 points a game. From 30-something points a game to 17 points a game in the offseason.
When your personnel never really changed that much.
Exactly. Personnel didn't really change that much. Except for, if JPP.
It did. JPP
and Sue meant that much to that defense, you should have paid them.
Well, considering that JPP went to where for half of the money that he was making here in Tampa?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, did he have
was it? Baltimore?
Did he have a great season in Baltimore? No, it wasn't that great. But what we need to be looking at is why aren't they assessing how important players are to our locker room? Forget what their value is around the rest of the league. Forget that part. What is the value to a player in your locker room? Like, those veterans, they were leaders. Outside of Levante David.
Jason White does not have that mentality.
But this is the thing.
This is what I've been telling you guys for years now.
Bruh, what you mean telling me? Like I disagree with you that Jason Light is a terrible GM? We've been saying this.
And I'm going to say one other thing again. Tom Brady saved Jason Light's job. Guess what, folks?
Listen, he saved Jason Light's job. He saved Bruce Arians, even though Bruce Arians' job wasn't on the table. But Bruce Arians don't come back probably for another few years if Tom Brady ain't here. I don't think he makes it another couple of years. He might have stepped down sooner. Who knows? But 100%, he saved Jason Light's job.
Yes.
And
Jason Light is not a general manager. Jason Light is a front office guy. Jason Light has a couple of good ideas. Jason Light is an advisor guy. Jason Light is a suggestion guy. That is what Jason Light is. Okay, here's the thing. Everybody got so enamored. Oh, Jason Light was with the Patriots. Jason Light was a suggestion guy with the Patriots. Okay, let's make that clear.
He was with Arizona Cardinals before he came here.
Why do you think he got the Arizona Cardinal job?
Because of Bruce Arians? I don't know. I mean, Bruce Arians.
No, he got the he got the Arizona Cardinal job because he was a front office guy for the New England Patriots.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
Come on, man.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, the connection with the Bucs was him and Arians had worked together in Arizona. That's what got Arians here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
If it wasn't for Arians, I'm gonna give Arians credit for this. He's respected around the league, and every man that has played for him talks about, you know, how well he is with the players, how respected he is, and how hard he works. That's great. I wish Arians would have stayed as the head coach. And part of my beef with him is I've heard the stories about him and Brady, and I don't care about that. Because at the end of the day, you're the head coach. And if your heart is in it the way that it need to be, no one man is going to force you to step away from coaching. No one person is going to force you to step away from coaching.
And that's why I don't believe any of those stories. I do not believe any of them. Not one of them.
Because as a head coach, you're still in control. You know what I'm saying? You're still in control. You still have say-so. The Glazers, you know, they gave you that ability as a head coach. They respect the crap out of you. That's why you went from being a head coach straight into the front office. So you can't tell me that you're not going to have a voice as a head coach just because you and the quarterback got some disagreements on some stuff. Work it out. Work it out, just like they did in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur. They worked it out.
Bad example, Debo. Bad example.
No, but what I'm saying is when LaFleur first got into Green Bay, him and Aaron Rodgers was butting heads. They weren't seeing eye to eye. They was butting heads, and they figured it out. They sat in the room, aired out their differences. Aaron Rodgers told them the things he liked and what he would like to see from an offensive standpoint. And – you know, vice versa from the head coach. It didn't result in the championship, but what I'm saying is they mended their they got the differences out the way, and they figured out how to coexist, because at the end of the day, the common goal is we trying to win. So
yeah,
you're going to back out and hand us a fake offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator that probably wasn't ready to be a head coach again. Not so fast after what happened in New York. And everybody was clowning the Jets. Oh, it's the Jets. Maybe it was him.
And I was one of the people that said that. And you know what? And that's why I said, you know what, I don't mind us giving him a chance. But after this season, I'm seeing that it looks to me like it was a combination of both
in
ownership,
yeah,
and him.
And I like Todd Bowles. This not me saying, oh, you know, fire the man. But we've made the mistake. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue with the mistake, or as an ownership, can you go to him and say, hey, we feel like it would be a better situation for you so you can focus on the team as a whole to find your defensive coordinator? Ain't nothing so hard about that.
And you know what? And the thing is that is probably not a crazy idea. It really isn't. Tom Bowles is going to think it's crazy because I'm sure that Tom Bowles doesn't think anything's wrong with the defense. He just needs other players. And while that is true in everything, Tom Bowles has shown that he can't wear two hats. This is where you're going to separate. This is where you separate the great head coaches from the good head coaches. Is your ability to recognize and understand that, and like you said earlier, put the ego in your pocket. Okay,
you got to.
You brought up Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's been a head coach for how long?
15 years in Pittsburgh.
Okay, how many winning seasons has he had?
15.
Exactly. Why? Because Bill Cowher set him up. But here is the thing. Mike Tomlin had the mentality that, hey, I am not going to wear all these hats. I need to keep this train going. Okay, now I'm going to bring in this offensive coordinator. I'm going to bring in this defensive coordinator. Okay, we're going to get this done. And boom, what happens? He went to Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He has 15 winning seasons. He has dealt with unspeakable off the field issues.
You know,
case in point, Antonio Brown, and who was that other receiver Bell.
Oh yeah,
Bell and Brown out there causing out there acting a fool.
The killer bees. That's what they called them. The killer bees.
Right.
And that was two of their best players.
Mike
Tomlin saw what was happening, and he said, "I'm not going to allow you guys to destroy this locker room. See you later." And this was in the middle of major contracts for both of them. I think Bell had just signed a big deal. AB, same thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, hey, we got to move on. And that's leadership, right? That is leadership the way that you needed to be in the head coach. And I hope from an organization standpoint, I hope that Todd Bowles figures this thing out. And he could be in that position of a Mike Tomlin type for this franchise. That's what I want. I don't want to keep cycling head coaches.
No, I don't either. But the thing is that, you know, everybody is so sure that Byron Leftwich is going to be fired by the end of the week. Well, I think that it should be done. I don't think Tom Bowles is going to do it.
I think Todd Bowles' mentality is similar to Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy was fired because he wouldn't fire a dude. But Glazers wanted to get rid of the current offensive coordinator. I think it was Clyde Christensen or it might have been Clyde Christensen, but they wanted to fire the then offensive coordinator. Tony Dungy was loyal to him and said, "I'm not firing my offensive coordinator." Okay, well then you're fired.
Well, what really tears me up is that when he finally said, when he finally was like, "Okay, you know, I'm going to bring in this other guy," and everything like that, and all that, it was too late.
It was too late.
I mean, yeah. The guy that he was going to bring in, I mean, he's with our organization now, but it's about 10 to 15 years too late, and that was Tom Moore. Tom Moore, great offensive mind.
You know,
okay.
Well, you just said his the name, Tom Moore. You have a guy like Tom Moore on your staff. I don't know if the conversation was brought up, but Mr. Bruce Arians, you got a living legend from an offensive standpoint on your staff.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it might have been a good idea to maybe go to him and say, hey, would you like to have an offensive coordinator role? You and Leftwich could be co-offensive coordinators or something. I don't know if this conversation didn't happen. It might have happened. But he's still on the sideline. You see him every game walking around on the sideline.
Yeah.
With a headset.
Well, see.
So,
what is
his role?
Go ahead.
No,
Nico.
I'm just saying, what is his role with the team? What is he? What is
he?
He
is an offensive consultant. But here's the thing. When Byron Leftwich was offered the contract by the Jacksonville Jaguars to be their head coach, the talk was that Tom Moore was going to move into that role. But for some reason, Byron Leftwich turned that role down. He turned down the head coaching job at Jacksonville. It worked out good for Jacksonville and everything, because they went and got Doug Peterson instead. Okay? The rumor was that Tom Moore was going to step in to that, offensive coordinator role, and he was going to have a quote-unquote understudy and everything like that, because the way that I understood it is he really didn't want to stay in that role that long. Now, who that understudy was, I have my guesses, but I never really heard. So, with that being said, maybe there was some truth to those rumors. But now, you're at an impasse where I don't really know if Tom Moore can fix this offense.
No, what would have to happen is the type of offense that Moore wants, he couldn't run it with this roster. He could do it with the quarterback, and you have the receivers to do it, but you don't have a running back of the running backs that he's used to having. Rashad White would have been his guy, not Leonard Fournette. And your left side of your offensive line is straight boo-boo. So you can't do his you can't do his offense.
I'm gonna say this. In the draft this year, now I haven't. I've only just started really looking at the draft picks, but it might behoove Jason Light to maybe spend that number one pick on a left tackle.
Listen, William. And for everybody that's listening right now, and for everybody that will be listening at a later time, if Jason Light don't draft an offensive lineman with our first round pick and then another one with our second round pick, fire him at the draft.
I'll agree with half of that. Because remember, man, we still need defensive linemen, too.
I don't care. You need to protect the quarterback first. You can get some good defensive linemen in the second and the third rounds. But you need offensive linemen, like, very badly. So I would draft – Jerry Jones did it forever, right? Jerry Jones was laughed at many years in the draft because he was taking offensive linemen in the first and the second round every year. Guess what? Jerry Jones
– Yeah, I know. I was one of them.
Is laughing at y'all because anytime he lost a lineman, he was bringing in a number one first-round lineman, and a second-round lineman was sitting there waiting behind him. So the joke's on y'all. Y'all laughing at him. His offensive line.
It most certainly was.
Yeah, you know, his offensive line straight. He ain't worried about nothing. That's the point we need to be at. You got depth, and you got a starting five, and you got great depth behind those guys. So you're not worried about injury. You're set up for it. You're set up to next man up. You're set up for it. So if we take offensive lineman with the first pick, first round pick, which we better, and then they turn around and do and draft a guard with that second round pick, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because you can still find quality defensive linemen later on in the draft. You can find defense third round, you know, second round, and then, you know, you sprinkle in a free agent or two, a veteran free agent that still got some miles on his legs. You sprinkle that guy in, and you can get away with, you know, having a not-so-great defensive line and still manufacturing pressure. But you can't get away with not having a good offensive line. You just can't. So to me, offensive line is more important.
Well, see, I agree with everything you're saying. I agree with it. I agree with it wholeheartedly. But what I'm saying is if he happened to use the second round pick on the defensive lineman, I would not be
No.
I would not be upset.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't be mad either.
I wouldn't be mad at that either. But what I'm just saying is if they go, you know, lineman, offensive line with the first two picks, I understand. If they go offensive line first round, defensive line second round, offensive line third round, I'm okay with that. We got to fix this offensive line. Before we do anything else, the priority needs to be fix the offensive line. Now, that's not counting. They may do some things in free agency that helps that out. But whether it's Brady at quarterback or Trask or Gabbert or anybody else, if you come in next season and you hadn't 100% addressed the offensive line problems, we will be sitting here at the end of next season saying the same thing. And if we're sitting here at the end of next season saying the same thing about lack of protection on the quarterback, everybody deserves to be fired. Every single body deserves to be fired. Clean house.
No. And I'll tell you why we're not saying the same thing, because we actually made it to the playoffs this year. Okay, here's the thing. I done already told you guys. I am almost 100% sure Brady ain't going to be here next year.
I can't say that with 100. Okay. Well, I can't say that because I think at this stage of Brady's career, even though, you know, he's no longer married or whatnot, Why would you want to move to another franchise to play possibly one or 2 years, depending on the contract, or however, you know, things goes, when he really likes it here, man? He likes it here. He likes the area. He likes the teammates he's playing with. You got the best wide receiver, you know, room in one of the
and that is the only reason that I do not say 100% sure he will not leave.
You know, depending on what they do with the offensive coordinator, I know him and Leftwich, you know, got a pretty decent close relationship. Room, you know, story is that during the Buccaneers off week, the Glazers were gonna fire Byron Leftwich. Then Brady, you know, went to the Glazers and convinced them to, stick with Leftwich. A lot of people find that as a problem. Me personally, I don't find that as a problem. You know why? Because a lot of the teams that replace coaches mid-season, they're not going anywhere anyway. So if we're going to replace, if we're just going to fire Leftwich midway point in the season, number one, who's calling the new offense? That's number one. Number two,
it would be Clyde Richardson or Tom Morris.
Yeah, okay. So number two, if you're at that point where you're firing coaches in the midseason, you're not a playoff team anyway. So, I mean, I'm okay with
Debo, we're not a playoff team.
Listen, let me finish. But what I'm saying is I'm okay with staying status quo for the duration of the season, and then after the season, dealing with your coaching changes in that way, because all that is going to do is cause for more destruction with the offense, because this new coordinator that may come in, he may be the same offense, but he may call it differently. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to get used to a whole new signal caller that might have a different idea on how he wants to run the offense. That's just another adjustment that the players got to make mid-season. So I agree with, Brady going to the Glazers and saying, hey, give him a chance, or however the conversation went. Brady is Brady. Just like I would expect that same thing to happen with, Rodgers or a Mahomes type of quarterback, Russell Wilson pretty much orchestrated that his way out of Seattle, doing that just thing, trying to make demands, and Seattle wasn't trying to hear it. So at the end of the day, you just got to do what's right for the franchise at that point, and I think the right thing to do was to stick with Byron Leftwich, and then make your coaching changes if you're going to make them. Wait till after the season and make your coaching changes then, because making them in the middle of the season just causes for more friction and more chaos, because you're going to get 1,000 questions from the media about what happened and why this and why that, and that's a distraction. You don't want to be answering those questions in the middle of a season. So this comes
from absolutely not.
Tom Brady, who for 19 years played in the organization that conducted themselves a certain way, no matter what.
Hey, Debo, I got it right, man.
Okay. Yeah, so.
All right.
No matter what. Ladies and gentlemen, that's William Graves. He's probably packing it in to a report for work, because he works overnight. So, but I'm going to keep going. I got a little bit of time left, and then I'm going to head out. But, back to Brady, he's coming from an organization that conducts themselves in a certain way, shows a certain level of professionalism, and they have their ducks in a row. So for him, it might not been a good look for him mid-season to get rid of coaches. It's never good for teams to get rid of coaches mid-season. Like, you should never do that. Coaches should always get the full season, because they might be able to turn it around. So you give them that time that you needed for them to have to turn it around, which is the whole season. So other than that, man, I just think there's a lot of moves to be made, and we got a long offseason. So we're going to continue to come back to this. We're going to continue to put pressure on the Buccaneers and the free agency moves and all of that, because at the end of the day, we all just want, you know, for our team to win and conduct themselves in a way where around the league we're not a laughing stock and we're respected like all the other great organizations are. That's what we're working towards. That's what we want to work towards. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, the season was a mess, and it was very disappointing to go from where we were last season to come to this point, you know, this season where we was just happy to be in the playoffs. It wasn't like we was going in the playoffs with it. With this chip on our shoulder, where it was like, you know what, this is, we got this in the bag. No, we limped our way into the playoffs. We had a coaching staff that played scared. They coached scared and conservative, which again, that didn't mend well for us either. So at the end of the day, we got to be better. You know, as an organization. So, I don't know, man. I mean, as we get news, we'll feed it back to you guys. Like you always know, Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show on Facebook, group and like page, ratpacksports.com as well. You can find information on there. And hopefully everything will be, you know, start to look on the up and up as we get further into this offseason, see what type of moves they got, what type of ideas they got. And, you know, that'll be that. But we're going to get out of here for this week, man. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate my man Todd Walking Sticks calling in, you know, to discuss the Minnesota Vikings. Nicholas Lane coming on. We usually talk NBA, but he came in, joined the conversation on the NFL and the Bucks. My man William Graves as well. So with that being said, we're going to catch you guys. We'll be live here Sunday night, and we'll talk about the divisional round and talk about those games. Results and everything of that. If you want to listen to this show, we'll have the podcast downloads on the website tomorrow. And you can, you know, just go back and listen to it. Those of you new to the show, just stay up to date, man. Follow us on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show, group and like page. We can follow us on Twitter, at Rat Pack Sports with a Z. And you can email us also, ratpacksports@gmail.com if you got any questions or comments or anything like that. So with that being said, it's time to head out. It is getting late, and we'll, you know, see you guys on the flip side. We appreciate y'all. And we out of here, man. It's Devo from Rat Pack Sports Show. We signing out for this week. Peace.